This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Frank Gaffney. He's president of the Center for Security Policy. He's also a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, and he's the host currently of Secure Freedom Radio. He's also, in addition to many other issues related to national security, very concerned about the Obama administration's policy on nuclear arms, particularly a new treaty that the president's negotiated with Russia, but that Mr. Gaffney believes the U.S. Senate should reject. And Frank, it's always great to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be back with you, Greg.
This is certainly an issue that's been lost on the radar screen given the politics going on right now and certainly the oil spill and Iranian nukes, of course. But in terms of this treaty, what exactly did the president negotiate with Russia and which aspects of it are you most concerned about?
Well, let me back the lens up just a moment, Greg, because what I'm really most concerned about is the larger disarmament agenda that President Obama embraced before he came to office and certainly has been trying to implement since he took the White House. That disarmament agenda, he describes himself as trying to bring about a world without nuclear weapons. And he believes that the United States should be setting an example for other nations by taking steps that would unilaterally restrain its nuclear weapons programs in a number of ways, in the hopes that others, the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Iranians, will follow our lead. There is no basis for believing that anyone will follow the president's lead in unilaterally disarming this country. And interestingly enough, a Rasmussen poll last week made it pretty clear that the American people are under no illusion on that point. I think some 55% of them said they didn't think that likely, and they're absolutely right. It defies common sense. What we will have is the President of the United States denuclearizing the one country he can, which is ours. And that sounds like it's a hyperbole because we have a lot of nuclear weapons. Unfortunately, what most people don't know is that we haven't modernized any of them for two decades. On average, they have an age of about 30 years. Some of them are about 15 years beyond their design life. And not a one of them has been tested in a realistic fashion underground in over 18 years. So all of these are conditions that are creating an increasingly obsolescent deterrent on our part, and that's what really worries me. The START treaty, I believe, will simply compound that underlying problem, but I think we need to address both.
Frank, you mentioned it's been 18 years. Is it basically the fact that presidents of both parties, once the Cold War was over, decided this wasn't a priority anymore?
Well, interestingly enough, Greg, it started really before the Cold War was officially over. President Bush announced that he would engage in a unilateral moratorium on testing. This is the first President Bush. He did so on the basis of what was believed to be a promise on the part of some members of the United States Senate that they would fund one of the great pork barrel projects of all time, the superconducting super collider, as it was called at the time. That didn't happen, but we remain bound, as a practical matter, by that unilateral moratorium dating back to 1992. And yes, you're right. Presidents of both parties have seen fit to continue it. I think that the United States Senate, in the meantime, had said, you know, we're not going to agree to a permanent test ban. But nonetheless, we've seen fit to sort of neglect our nuclear deterrent. And so the sort of atrophying that's taking place today on President Obama's watch, that he is really trying to make permanent through what he called his nuclear posture review, I'm afraid is compounding the mistakes of the past in ways that will very, very seriously endanger the security interests of this country over time.
Frank, how much time and money would it take to modernize our arsenal?
Well, it would take a lot, to be honest with you, because it's not just obsolescent nuclear weapons. Many of the delivery systems for them, the planes, the missiles, the submarines, are also aging. And then there's the whole other problem that really the nuclear deterrent depends upon a nuclear weapons industrial base. They call it a nuclear weapons complex. And some of the facilities that make up that complex, believe it or not, Greg, date back to the Manhattan Project.
Hmm.
So there's a very substantial investment that has to be made. But I think we're in a position today. Think about this. We're in a position today that Iran has a more modern and certainly much more active nuclear weapons program than does the United States of America. Do you think that's a good thing? I don't. And I think the more Americans understand about this, and other points in that Rasmussen poll, by the way, strongly support this, they believe, most Americans, overwhelming majorities of Americans, believe we do continue to need a nuclear deterrent. And most of them, actually 57%, I believe it is, said in this poll, they don't think we should cut our weapons, which is what the START Treaty does most ill-advisedly.
As most of our listeners know, Frank, the Democrats have a sizable majority in the Senate, but it does take a supermajority to approve a treaty. So what does it look like in terms of whether or not this will be ratified?
Well, you'd have to bet that it will be, because the president wants it. He does have, as you say, control of the Senate. But I really believe that this treaty is in trouble, Greg, because the more people know about it and this larger nuclear weapons agenda of the president, the less they're going to like it. They're going to not like, to say nothing of these cuts, they're not going to like the fact that ratifying this treaty would effectively reward the Russians for helping the Iranian nuclear weapons program, that we would be ignoring the fact that this treaty doesn't do anything about emerging threats from China or North Korea or, for that matter, Iran as well as the Russians, that it involves, you know, restrictions on our missile defenses, which have nothing to do with this nuclear arms treaty, and yet they're being encumbered. In all these ways, I think the more people know, the less they're going to approve this treaty, and I think that's going to be reflected in Senate votes in due course.
When this treaty was first agreed to by Obama and President Medvedev of Russia, I don't remember if it was a conversation with you or another expert on the subject that said basically the reductions being proposed here would basically take us down to the Russian level. In other words, Russia really wouldn't be giving up much of anything. Is that accurate?
Well, that's right up to a point. The Russians have had economic difficulties, as we all know. They believe, nonetheless, that as important a priority for them as any is maintaining their nuclear weapons. So, yes, they're going to have fewer of them, but they're going to do that for budget reasons, not for strategic reasons. And the vast majority of them, Greg, will have been modernized in recent years. So they will have a smaller force, but a much more modern force. We will just have a smaller force that may approximate what they can afford, except that they have an awful lot of other weapons that aren't counted under this treaty, so-called tactical nuclear weapons. So in all these respects, I think we're going to wind up with a disadvantaged position vis-a-vis the Russians, not equality. Just another reason why the START Treaty should not be ratified, and this larger, crazy disarmament agenda of the United States under President Obama should be rejected as well.
Well, Frank, we'll see how much political oxygen this gets given everything else that's going on. But when the Senate comes back, let's hope that it does. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your help.
Absolutely. Frank Gaffney, former Assistant Secretary of Defense, President of the Center for Security Policy, host of Secure Freedom Radio. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.